Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.
In the NoCo is supported by Blue Federal Credit Union, with locations from Denver to Cheyenne, helping members tap into the power of community. More information at bluefcu.com.
Tourists take their vacations in Colorado for lots of reasons, like our breathtaking mountains and the chance to go hurtling down them on skis or a snowboard. You've got hiking, whitewater rafting, even cannabis tourism. But what about wolf watching? From KUNC and the NPR Network, this is In the NoCo, a daily slice of Northern Colorado news and happenings. It's Tuesday, April 30th. I'm Erin O'Toole. Ever since 10 wolves from Oregon were released on Colorado's western slope last December, there's been a ton of interest in them. Ranchers, for instance, want to know how the wolves will threaten their livestock. Many other people simply want to catch a glimpse of the predators. A Facebook group that was started to share sightings and keep tabs on the wolves now has thousands of members. And a recent sighting on a lonely road near Kremling spawned a surge in traffic. Could these be signs that wolves might eventually become a tourist attraction here? Well, today I'm talking with KUNC investigative reporter Scott Franz, who's been looking into that very question. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Erin.
So before we dive in and talk about the chances of wolf tourism, I want to get up to speed here because there's been a lot of breaking news and milestones this month about the new wolves, including that one of them was found dead in Larimer County, apparently from natural causes. Could you catch us up?
Yeah, there's a lot going on, Erin. The wolves have started attacking livestock in Grand County. As many as 8 cows have now been reportedly attacked by these newly introduced wolves. Mm. You know, it's really an unwelcome milestone for ranchers and the impact to their day-to-day operations. But this was also something that was expected. The state set up a reimbursement program for up to $15,000 per cow that's killed by a wolf. And some more added perspective, there were 780,000 calves in the state last year. So wolves have now been blamed for killing a handful of them.
Okay.
This has also sparked an interesting debate between the ranching organizations. There are some calls from them to kill these wolves that are responsible for attacking livestock. They are calling the wolves chronic depredators and that the state should take lethal action before this gets out of hand. But through this debate, the state has stood firm and said, no, we're not going to kill them. And one of the reasons they are revealing they're not going to take lethal action is one of these wolves actually appears to have a mate that is expecting pups. And they say that killing this wolf could really hurt the chances of these wolf pups surviving.
Oh, wow. Well, with all of this going on, it's probably not surprising that there are tons of people going online to keep tabs on the wolves. Now, this so-called Colorado Wolf Tracker page on Facebook has a huge following. Its members range from state lawmakers to journalists to ranchers to wolf enthusiasts. But what's interesting to me is who started this page and why? What do we know about him?
Yeah, it's becoming really popular. It was started by John Michael Williams. He lives in southern Colorado. He's a retired reserve deputy in El Paso County. He says he was actually a critic of the wolf reintroduction, and he started this page because he was frustrated about a lack of transparency about what the wolves were up to. He points to those maps the state releases every month to show which watersheds they're visiting. Mm-hmm. And he says there's not a lot you can really glean in terms of useful information from that. If you're a rancher or someone looking to protect your livestock, he created it as a way to give people living on the Western Slope a better idea of what the wolves were up to.
The way that wolves are tracked in Colorado is very hush-hush. You can compare it to how it's done in Oregon, where ranchers have a site they can log into, and if wolves are near their ranch, they will show GPS locations.
Well, Scott, you've been following this group for the past few weeks. What else are you learning?
Well, love them or fear them, the wolves are a huge conversation starter. There are tons of posts each day on this page. But it also reveals there's still lots of tension over this reintroduction. There was a post recently cheering the death of that first reintroduced wolf with the person calling it, quote, good news. On the same day, you know, there was another person who posted research about the positive impact that wolves have on the environment. So it's an interesting mix of wolf enthusiasts and really some of their strongest critics. But at the very least, you know, some people could be using this tool to get a glimpse of wolves. I've talked to wildlife photographers who say they're getting ready this summer to go out and find them. And, you know, potentially this is also a resource for them to track them.
Interesting. Well, speaking of the wolf enthusiasts, you've been talking to some of them recently about this idea of Colorado becoming a new hotspot for wolf watchers. What are the chances of that happening?
It's fascinating to talk to the wolf watchers who have been based in Montana, because there's a very established tourism industry around wolves there. And the animals are actually so popular, you can go to bookstores in Colorado and find long, detailed books about individual wolves. They're like celebrities.
Wow.
And I talked to Nathan Varley. He runs Yellowstone Wolf Tracker. It's a guiding business that takes tourists each week into Yellowstone to watch and photograph wolves. He tells me that he's convinced Colorado will benefit from having wolves on the landscape and that they'll draw people here, even if the big tours and guided trips don't develop.
You have like North Park and South Park, you know, big wide open spaces in the mountains that might be great for wolf watching if there's the right kind of roads and stuff to access that. I think wolves will be an attraction in Colorado. They're just kind of this extra quality of the wild landscape that you have there. It's like, oh, we could see a wolf. We could hear one howling at our campsite.
Varley also points to recent studies showing that wolf watching in Yellowstone brings in more than $80 million a year to these very small communities that serve as the entrance to Yellowstone.
I mean, that's got to have tourism leaders here a little bit excited. What are you hearing from them? I mean, what are they thinking as the wolves continue to roam here?
Yeah, it's been very interesting, Aaron. I've called a lot of them recently, and they have mixed opinions. I've heard everything from complete indifference of people not calling me back or saying they don't want to talk about it, you know, in the state tourism office, to people who are fearful of wolves, to people who are cautiously optimistic. I'll start with Chris Romer. He's the president of the tourism office in the Vail Valley. He started by saying that wolves could negatively impact their ranching industry.
We've seen zero discussion or impact or momentum or anything with regards to tourism.
But over in Grand County, where the first wolves were actually released and where they're reportedly setting up a den, the tourism board president there, Gaylene Orr, says she's more open to the idea of wolves eventually becoming a tourism attraction. She actually went to Yellowstone last year to try and see a wolf and get a better understanding of what all this excitement is about up there.
There's just something very alluring about them. It's kind of what you think about when you think of the West.
But Orr says it's still super early and she wouldn't even think about, you know, embracing or taking that step of marketing wolves here unless wildlife officials give the okay and it's done responsibly to mitigate things like traffic and impact to, you know, private property owners and things. So she really thinks we're still pretty far off from anything like that happening.
All right, I guess we'll just have to see where all this goes. Scott Franz, KUNC's investigative reporter, thanks so much for your reporting on this, and thank you for coming on to talk about it.
Hey, my pleasure, Aaron.
Scott mentioned a couple of wolf tracking sites in our conversation. We'll include a link in our show notes. And that's it for us today here on In the NoCo. We'll be back tomorrow with more of what's happening in northern Colorado.